The Society of Mary, as the Marianist Fathers and Brothers are collectively known, holds its general chapter here in Rome from July 3rd to 23rd, focusing on ways for the order to work more closely together in countries across the world. A total of 40 delegates will be attending the meeting, which comes 1 year after the Society celebrated the 250th anniversary of the birth of its founder, French Father Blessed William Chaminade. To find out more about what's on the agenda for this general chapter, I spoke to the Secretary General of the Society, Brother Michael McAward. Brother Mike, you've been very involved in the preparations, haven't you?
Yes.
Because, as you told me, the chapter is coming home, in a sense. Tell us more.
That's right. Well, it's very interesting. We've had chapters in various parts of the world, but of the last few chapters, they've always been in or about Rome. But they've never been in our actual house, in our generalate. And so what we've done this year is we've decided to use our general headquarters to house the chapter. So we've been able to work it out in a sort of familiar way, of like a family, as we want to be. We've been able to work it out so that the members of the chapter and the auxiliary personnel, who are all Marianists, can stay with us in our generalate.
What are the advantages of this?
Well, there are many advantages. Number one, we make use of our own facilities rather than having to rent and pay for another facility. General chapters can be very expensive. But even beyond that, there is a whole sense of fraternity that comes from having a meeting in your own home.
So you have members coming in from some 40 countries around the world, don't you?
Approximately. There are 40 delegates. But we have around 20 different provinces or regions or districts, what we call units around the world. And each of them will be represented. And depending on population, some of them will be represented with several different delegates. Some are by right of office and others are by election.
So what will be the main focus, the main themes that you're looking at as you try to set the direction for the coming years?
The chapter has both a practical side and then maybe more of a spiritual side, a direction side. From a practical point of view, a chapter is really the instrument that religious orders use to elect its general leadership. So we will elect our superior general. We will elect his council. The current council and superior general, some of them can be reelected, and others have served two terms and they cannot continue. But beyond those elections, there is also a question that the chapter has the mandate by our own rule of life and by the tradition of the church to set the directions for the order, whether those are in general or even in particular. During its session, the chapter is really the leadership of the order. And then at the conclusion of the chapter, it gives its mandate to the newly elected council. So when we think about what's being discussed and what is being addressed at this particular time, we have a few particular issues which we need to face now in our own order. To place the chapter in a context, we are kind of in the midst of three different special times within our order. We just concluded the 250th anniversary of our founder's birth. And it was a year-long celebration, and it reawakened across the globe knowledge and interest in our founder, and more, even more importantly, in his mission, in his charism.
He's up for the cause for canonization currently,
yes,
isn't he?
His cause is currently proceeding through the Congregation for the Causes of Saints. They are evaluating an alleged miracle right now, which would lead to his canonization if that were to be approved. Another aspect also linked to the founder is that in a few years, within the time of this next term of office, will be the 200th anniversary of the founding of our order. Again, a time for the rededication of ourselves to go back to our roots and to understand what we really are, our identity. And then also, the chapter is occurring during this anniversary, which we're about to enter, of the Second Vatican Council. And the Second Vatican Council was a transitional period. It was a pivotal period of the church. So when we look at the issues that are facing us right now, they occur in this context. What are some of those issues? Well, what we like to say is that we need to be faithful to our identity, which was established by our founder at our roots, but also faithful to the world and the context in which we live. So the way we use that terminology within the Society of Mary is this. Our founder said we were all missionaries, and we must dedicate ourselves to the mission. And that mission, though, changes with the times, and it needs to be addressed within the context of the time when it's carried out. So today's context for us. And so there are changes between the time of our founder and the time of today. There are changes all along the way. There are many things that are the same. So you go back and you find out what is the same and that we need to conserve and what needs to change. One of those things that we are seeing is that the world has shrunk.
The global village.
That's it. And you hear this so often now, you know, globalization or a globalized community. And it's almost getting too common. But the reality is that as an order, we need to have a much greater sense of ourselves as a global community than we did 50, 60, 100, 200 years ago. Because the communication is so broad, and we have resources in one part of the world or in one demographic situation that we don't have in another, and vice versa. Let me give you some examples. It's no secret that religious orders are diminishing in some of the more established part of the globe, what we could traditionally call the Western world. And yet, within those cultures, there is a very rich tradition and a very rich understanding of theology, of spirituality, and many, many gifts to be given. Conversely, in other parts of the world, the church is developing, and it's developing rapidly. The Spirit has given us many vocations, but they may not have the same foundation in some of the gifts that the other part of the world may have. So they have less numbers, but more foundation. And other parts of the world have more numbers, but less foundation. What do? You need to be able to exchange your resources, whether those resources are personnel, whether they are formation, whatever it happens to be. You need to, and if that's going to happen, there's a few things that need to be within your attitude. One is, first of all, an awareness. We need to look beyond our own horizon to a much broader horizon, what we call the global community. Another one is, to some degree, we have to be able to go outside of our own comfort zone, because many of these things involve change of culture, a change of language, and everything that those things bring. And we need also to be able to step out of our own experience. So our chapter will address some of these things and how we can do this.
In a very practical sense, is that what's happening to the Society of Mary? Few vocations here in the West, plenty over in the developing world?
Relatively speaking, yes. Relatively speaking, you would have many more vocations arriving in the developing world than you would have in the so-called developed world, in the traditionally Christian areas.
Which countries do you have most of your vocations today?
We're very strong arriving vocations in India and in Western and Eastern Africa, both sides, the French-speaking and the English-speaking. One of the challenges, though, that brings is that many arrive, but the development of those vocations is a very, very sensitive task. Why? Because they arrive for a multitude of reasons. And to form these into persevering vocations, to develop their vocation so that they are going to persevere for the rest of their life in the service of the church and also in the development of their own spiritual vocation, this is a very difficult task, and this is one of the challenges you have. One of the challenges you have that many arrive, but to form them according to the gifts that our founder left us.
Because many will be arriving for other reasons.
They could be arriving for many reasons. It could be a question of economics. It could be a question of society status. Mixed motivations does not mean a person doesn't have a vocation. But the process of formation is a process of honing and focusing these motivations into the mission.
When you're talking about this sharing of resources and personnel, again, this goes back very much to the view and the vision of your founder, doesn't it? The idea of collaboration and cooperation with different ministries.
Our founder, probably one of his most famous sayings was, "You are all missionaries." Our founder, after returning from exile in Spain, immediately or during the French Revolution, when he could return from exile in Saragossa, Spain, was asked not only by the diocesan bishop, but by the faithful to help to re-Christianize France. And he sought from the Holy Father at that time the title of missionary apostolic, which essentially said that he was free to be a missionary
in his own
country, in his own place. And the people that he gathered around to create this society, he gave that obligation or that empowerment to become missionaries. So we see whether we are teaching or whether we're working with street children, whatever we're doing, we see it as a mission. Now, the whole idea of this global community would be that the mission is not only shared by the people in one spot or one province, but that the mission is shared by us as a whole. It's all part of that. We also have another characteristic which is rather well known for our order and what we call mixed composition, and that is that we have brothers and priests serving together side by side equally. Yes, we have sometimes different functions. Obviously, the priests have ministerial functions that the brothers do not have. But internally and in many ways externally, we are serving equally. And Father Chaminade's idea was that it was the mission that was the driving force and not status. And Father Chaminade wanted us to work together as a witness of a community. And so that enters into it. And what we see here is that all of the different faces and all of the different cultures that go up to make up the Marianists are part of that global identity that we have. And we need to make that known.
What are you personally hoping for during this general chapter? What will it be for you?
Well, as the one who's in charge of all the logistics, I'm hoping that everything works. But I've given 35 years to the Society of Mary, and I love the Society, and I love the work that I've been privileged to do. So I have a great personal stake in the chapter and in the future of the Order. And we have a very pragmatic need to do a lot with diminishing resources. So one of the things I think I'm looking to is to see how we can collaborate as a global community, as we've said, to be able to continue the mission.
My thanks there to Brother Mike McAward, Secretary General of the Society of Mary.